Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plain Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my God, is it hot? I'm seriously melting here. Co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm quite comfortable here. It's not too hot. It's I got the window open, and it's not a million degrees yet.
All right, well, let's get right into it. We have a show tonight. All right, we want to start tonight's show the way we start every show. We'd like to remind you that this episode of the Plain Stalkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge someday in the by and by, when it's safer to do so, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the best place in gaming. Now, they have a new streamlined website. It's really good. It's been running really great for us. You should go there. You should check it out. Definitely, you know, Zendikar Rising's coming up. You can find it all at KGS Online. That's K as in kite, G as in go, S as in Sam, online.com. Don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainStalkers2020 at checkout. We highly recommend you do that. We like it when you patron our sponsor. So going to that as well, we have patrons. We want to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. Bell, Anthony, Steve, Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach. These guys help the show out in so many different ways. We're very excited to have them. We've got a lot of things coming up. There are, most of them are entered into the event coming up, the winner box, which we're going to go over here in a little bit. But you definitely want to, I want to thank them so much. We couldn't do this show without them. If you want to get into some of these drawings, see what kind of stuff you get, go to patreon.com/planestalkers, find out more. So it's untapped phase. So Aramis, how the hell are you, buddy?
I'm good. Good. Just coming down from Oogenpalooza earlier over the weekend.
Yeah, no shit. And for those of you keeping score at home, tonight I am drinking a Founders Brewing Four Giants IPA. Yeah, this is the real deal. This is all right. So I'm kind of digging on it. So it's not too bad. It's, 9.2. So
I have no hope for the future.
Poland Spring. What's this?
I have no hope for the future. We're doomed.
You're not doomed. Now, stop it. We're wonderful. This is amazing. It's the best night ever. We're here. We're happy. Sure. Life is good. But how the heck have you been otherwise, man? So, Oogen, you've been Oogening. How was your July 4th?
July 4th was good. We got some fireworks for the little guy, so we set those off later in the evening on the 4th of July, and he had a great time, and that's the important thing.
So you set off illegal fireworks.
No, they were legal. Just the sparklers. I don't go for the crazy loud stuff. Everybody else in our in like the 20-mile radius was setting off the big stuff, but we kept it small. So it's bright lights and noises. So he's happy.
Yeah, and well, me too. I'm a big fan of bright lights and noises. We had a pretty good July 4th. We had to go to Logan's. It wasn't as horrible as I thought it would be. His parents were really nice, and it's kind of cool because, they kind of talked to us a little bit. We found out a little bit more information about our daughter. It's kind of great. So, it's kind of like, you put up you pops and his dad, and he starts just kind of talking. So it was kind of really kind of cool for us. We were like, okay, this is happening. All right. This is how we're going to roll.
Didn't play Logan's theme music. I'm disappointed.
I forgot it. I forgot Gerardo's. I am working on Rico Suave because he's Rico Suave. Now, listen, I got some sunburn. Don't get me wrong. I did get some sun.
Ooh, like, crispy.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. I was in the pool for most of the day. It was a lot of fun. I was playing with the kids. And you put me in water and forget about it, man. I'm there. We had a great time. It was good. And he graduated, and now they go to college next year. And I don't worry about that at all. Not a bit. No, it's great. It's amazing. Kill me. Somebody just kill me now.
But you got plenty of time yet to prepare for that.
Oh yeah. So yeah, we had a pretty good weekend overall. I mean, it was Sunday we got a little busy. We did a little bit of yard work. We have a lot of bamboo out here, which is just a pain in the neck. But we had a good time with it. But other than that, it was pretty quiet Independence Day weekend. We're really looking forward to a week from this coming weekend, so 2 weeks from now, we're going to go on vacation. So next week we'll be on the air, but the following Monday we will actually be off because my wife and I will be incommunicado celebrating our 1 year anniversary. Hallelujah, God bless America. I made it a year. Well, not yet. I really shouldn't jinx it. But
yeah, there's plenty of time for her to kill you between now and then.
Yeah, totally. So we got a great show coming up. We're going to go to our upkeep portion of the show here. So tonight, obviously the first thing we're going to talk about, State of Standard. There was an article put out on Reddit Spikes. They talked about the events that happened this weekend, what won, what didn't, what looks like to be the bigger bombads. You know what I noticed wasn't in the top five, though, Aramis? Just going to... You know, I didn't see a commander deck companion deck anywhere.
Like, that's right. Yeah, there were no companions. So there are companions. According to our deal, I owe you a booster pack, sir.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, yep, yeah, we'll be working on that. I'm assuming a Core 21 will be acceptable.
Whatever you want, bud.
All right, whatever I want. Legal cool. Set. You got it. Collector booster done. Sucker.
If that's what you want.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to make you spend $25 on me, for crying out loud. You got a 5-year-old and you're unemployed. Jesus, I'm not that guy. Oh, sorry. I have also been watching a lot of Scrubs, so if I go off on a rant, I'm not going to be surprised at all if I go Perry Cox style on it. Like, first of all, if you haven't seen the show Scrubs, watch the show Scrubs. Hysterical. Still funny today. A little bit. Given the current climate, every once in a while they'll knock a gay joke in there, or you know, maybe a little racial, like stuff that was good, okay, like 15 years ago. And by okay, I mean like, you know, we could laugh at it and feel good about ourselves. Now you're kind of like, I'm not so sure I should be laughing at that. But for the most part, I highly recommend it. So we're going to be talking about that. So State of Standard, go through that. We're going to talk a little bit about speculation, because Mark Rosewater today put out an article on the main mothership site there talking about the future of Magic. Now, I mean, he didn't go into specifics, but he brought up a lot of different mechanics, and I kind of want to speculate a little bit on that because I'm starting to wonder, like, okay, we still haven't seen a roadmap for 2021 yet. Usually by now, last year, they were pretty hot on getting us this info early. We knew Zendikar was coming at this point last year. So... They're a bit late. Now, I'm sure some of that has to do with the pandemic. I kind of think they might have gone back to the drawing board a little bit with the companions, like maybe to try to, maybe they've learned something from Oko and the companions. I'd love to think that they're going to, like, power down a little bit. But so we'll speculate a little bit on that. We don't really have a combat today. That may become, like, a thing of the past. And then we're going to talk about the Winnabox update, obviously. We're going to push that out a week, but we'll go over who I have on the list right now and how you guys can enter. I highly recommend you do it. It's a free box, for crying out loud. And the way it's sitting right now, we have 7 people. So if I get one more, and that's it, you have a 1-in-8 shot of winning a booster box. So, you know, we have to do it at 8:16. So the next one in is in for sure. After that, you got to find 7 friends to make sure. I can't bring in 9 people or 10 people. It has to be 8 or 16. Again, I was really hoping for 32, but Facebook was a bust. We didn't get anybody off of that. So we'll talk about that, and then that'll be a show. So, yeah, let's you know what? Let's get right to it. Let's hit it out.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So what we like to do here in main phase is talk about the State of Standard. Obviously we're a standard podcast, and there was an article put out, and I think they're going to do this going forward. Maybe they do it already. But they on the Reddit Spikes Reddit, they were talking about, you know, what did well. So at the SCG Open this weekend, which had PVDDR and Autumn Burchett and some other people, it looks like the top 8 decks were, this site uses cookies. Yeah, whatever. Blah. So the top 8 were Team Erech won it all, followed by a Bant Control, which is really Bant Ramp. Bant Ramp for 3 and 4. Sultai Ramp for 3 and 4. Bant Ramp again. Jund Sacrifice. Mono Green Aggro coming out of the woodwork. And RDW. So, and here's the thing. The RDW is not even the Cavalcade version, which I'm quite surprised about, given that Chandra's... Chandra's bird there that came out in this set too. So the Chandra's cat that does the same thing her bird does. So,
oh, the pirling. It's a lizard.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then in the other tournament this weekend, so that was another, then there was an SCG one as well, or there was another SCG open. And this one was a little bit more salty, I should say. Not salty, but they only gave us a top four on this. It was winning it all, Javier Vargas with mono green aggro, which we should talk about that deck. That might be a deck. Jund Sacrifice came in second, which, god dang it, I am so sick of that. And then Bant Ramp for 3 and 4. So
it's a Bant Control for 3 and 4.
Yeah, I know it says Bant Control, but the deck list is Bant Ramp. So they're not calling it Ramp, probably because
I think there is a slight difference in the game plan between Ramp and Control.
Well, it has Mystical Dispute. That's the only thing that I've seen. But Shark Typhoon, Nissa, Teferi's, Ugin, Euro, Jolariel. Jolariel is probably the biggest, one of the bigger weapons for green this time.
Yeah. Surprise, green got a good card.
Hey, JML Trucker, thanks, man. We love having you. So, hey, join the, listen, email us if you want to play Arena, man. If you have an Arena account, we'd love to have you in on the win a box. So, let's talk about this. And you know what? I mean, everybody knows Bant Ramp. God, I'm tired of Bant Ramp. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm playing Bant Ramp. And I'm winning, you know, about 40 to 45% of the time. It's not 50 per se, but I end up with a lot of mirror matches and I'm playing BO1. And so aggro kills me. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I'm okay with, like, you know, I'm not trying to go nuts here. But the big story, I think, out of this whole tournament is the mono green aggro. I think, you know, we've been saying for weeks that aggro is dead. And sure enough, not quite. You know, it's coming in. I'm looking at the Vargas playlist right now. It's coming in with 4 Barkhide Trolls, 2 Gem Razors, 3 Crawl Harpooner coming back out of the woodwork for a win, 4 Lovestrucks, 4 Pelts, 4 Questings, 3 Scavenging Ooze, which we all knew that was going to be a card. I don't know that we knew it was going to be as big as it is. And then, you know, Stone Coil and Yorvos. So, what do you think of this deck? I mean,
the mono green deck?
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, you know, it's kind of low to the ground. I mean, the most expensive card in the deck is the Great Henge, but that's never coming down for 9. That's usually coming down for, like, you know, 3 or 4 at the most.
Right.
I think it's one of those decks that can, the whole point of everything that this deck is trying to do, I think, is to race the ramp decks. Basically, right. Kill you before you can drop an Ugin.
Well, it's playing 2 ramp. The other deck I'm looking at here, Corey was running it with 2 Ramthers and a Ranger's Guile.
Yeah, and I think some decks were playing that in the side, but
He was running it main, which is, yeah. I think, he didn't win it. He came in 5th, but
right.
Still,
I like the deck. I always like to see when aggro shows up because it's, you know, it's a viable strategy. It's something that a lot of people like to play. I mean, not everybody. I would say most people don't like playing like the mid-rangey ramp decks, especially ones where you have to spend, you know, $600-$700 to make a standard deck, which is right. the Bant ramp deck right now because you got your full playset of Euros or Uros. You got your playset.
And we could
of
talk
Ugins.
About that. Uros gone way out of control. Like
$60.
Thank God I got 4.
Yeah, I can't play the decks I want to play because I'm going to be one of the ones that wants to play those ramp decks, but I only have 1 Euro, and I don't think I want to shell out $180 for 3 more.
Well, I mean, and I don't see that any. And here's the thing. The reason that's so high is that I don't think, if you're playing green in Modern, you're playing Euro. If you're playing green in Pioneer, you're playing Euro.
Anywhere you can cast it, you play it, yeah. Because it's like Primeval Titan. It's that good.
Yeah, it's a 3 drop to give you 3 life and another land.
And a card. If that's not a land, right. You're still drawing a card.
Like it's a good engine, and I'm surprised people were asleep on it as long as they were. We called out of the gate.
There was never any doubt about Uro. Uro.
Well,
Uro
the fact that it's going up 60 now, though, means somebody was sleeping on it.
Well, I mean, I think it's because it's a mythic. There's only so many floating around, and people are probably hoarding their copies. You know, that's probably driving the price up a little bit, but you know, that's MTG Finance.
It was 40 on release. And Steve is saying that too. It was 40
nobody
on release.
Nobody missed the boat on Uro. It's just I think it's even better than people thought.
I gotta admit, I bought two off the I opened two and I bought two. I knew that card was gonna be sick.
Yeah, there was
actually,
it was
I think
really
I opened
big,
three and bought one.
Yeah, it was never a big one. Secret that Uro was gonna be one of the really good cards because surprise, it was another Simic card that was just insane. Which has
and
been
Simic,
basically, that's how it's been for the last, 6 months at least.
Simic is getting ridiculous. And I worry that going to Zendikar, we're not going to see a change in that.
Well, there's going to be a lot of rotation, you know, because Nissa is going to go away, Growth Spiral is going away, Breeding Pool is going away, Arboreal Grazer is going away, Teferi is going away, that's more Bant, but... You know, a lot of the weapons that it had are going to be leaving. You know, it's still going to have the Goose. It's, you know, thank God it doesn't still have Oko. Thank God it doesn't have Once Upon a Time. Can you imagine what this standard would look like if these cards were still legal?
Oh, it would be ridiculous. I almost want to play one like you and me. Like no ban list, friendly. Because I think in friendly we can have whatever deck we want.
Yeah,
like,
I was thinking
I kind of want to see what it would like. I want to see what it would be like. To have playset of Uro, or playset of Oko, playset of Uro, play like the way that they intended Simic to go, or Banff.
I'll
forget
build it
about
now.
It. Yeah.
I would love. Actually, that's a really good idea. We should totally do that. It'd be a horrible mirror match because we both play the exact same deck. I'm sure.
So, did we catch the possible leak on the Nissa for Zendikar? I did not, Steve. I saw something about it on Magic Historian. He kind of mentioned it. They kind of went through it a little bit. I'm not going to give... It was looking... Oh, wait. I did think I saw something. It looked a little altered to me. So I'm not sure if I
I'd
can...
I'd have to see where the leak was... Where they saw the leak. Because I would want to take a look at it.
Right. For me, it's... I'm going to take everything with a grain of salt. Now, don't get me wrong. When the leak came out for Throne, and we saw the Nyx land, or was that Theros? That was Theros.
Well, there was the big leak for Theros, but then there was the guy that leaked all that information for Corset that was spot on minus
spot
Lightning
on.
Bolt and Birds of Paradise.
Landfall adds a loyalty. Fuck. Yeah, just what we need. Another Nissa that's overpowered and annoying.
Migration Path and Cultivator are in standard after rotation.
Yeah,
so.
That's
Ramp is still around. Just maybe not. I think it's more. It's like a turn slower because you don't have Growth Spiral and Arboreal Grazer, but it's still going to be pretty nuts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Zendikar. I'm looking forward to a bit of rotation. I mean, I know it's not going to change anything really major. I mean, Bant Ramp is still going to be Bant Ramp. We'll have aggro for a couple of weeks, which will be nice. Red will be red. Green will be green. Black is actually kind of a deck.
Yeah, I like the mono black. I've been playing a little bit of Sultai ramp on Arena. I've had some success with it. I mean, granted, I'm starting from Bronze 4, so from the bottom.
Right.
But it seems to me that the deck is... Any of the ramp decks, their big advantage is their resiliency. They basically just have to survive. And depending on what color you're going with, if you're Bant, you have access to Wraths and Teferi. If you're Sultai, you have access to Casualties of War, which can be a massive blowout.
Well, no, Casualties of War goes away, doesn't it?
It rotates out, but I'm talking right now.
Right, oh yeah. So, I don't know. For me, yeah, I'm about ready for rotation. I mean...
Oh, I'm totally ready for rotation.
Yeah. I think War of the Spark did what it was supposed to do. And I'm glad it was here for as long as it was. I'm ready for Planeswalkers to take kind of a chill.
Planeswalkers, you mean?
Yeah, them too. Not Planeswalkers. Planeswalkers.
We can't chill.
But I'm ready for Planeswalkers to take a little bit of a chill pill for a while. And to kind of chill out and relax and just kind of just be. You know, and be the three that comes out at every set. And we live with that for a while. I think Narset is Narset's going to stick around in the Eternal formats, but she was warping for a while. You know, Nissa was obviously a miscalculation. Teferi was a freaking joke.
Yeah, three fairy I mean, that's never going to go away. I would be interested to see if Nissa sees play in any of the Eternal formats. I don't think she does right now.
I don't think she will. I think there's a lot better ways to... The key point with her is her indestructible lands as her ultimate. Mm-hmm. But getting her there because she only plus ones, unless they're running with like a Bant and they've got Oath of Teferi so they can plus two her, then and that, but then you run the risk of your, you know, your creatures getting, your lands getting wiped.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting idea. I'm not so sure. I don't think it's going to be around. I think the cards that are going to make the biggest impact in Modern are already making it. Uro, Narset, Ashiok to some extent. Which Ashiok's not making even a ripple in Standard.
Yeah, no, but, it's way too slow.
But in Modern, he's great because he shuts off search. Oh, what? You have fetch lands? No, you don't.
Oh, you're talking 3-drop Ashiok. Yeah. Okay, not 5-drop Ashiok.
No, 3-drop Ashiok. I think 3-drop Ashiok still has a place because, I mean, we saw it during when the event we called at Kerwin's. Like, you know, a lot of people were playing it to shut off fracking, you know, searching.
Although
at
the same time, that was really the last event that had anything to do with Modern that I've even heard of since then, right?
Right. It's been pretty quiet.
Modern's been real quiet.
Well, there's not... I mean, say what you will. Okay, MTGO is always going to be there because of the Eternal formats, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obvious that it's you know, if Magic was Sister Wives, let's say, okay, MTGO is the first wife. You're glad it's there, but you're going to go and sleep with the hot new wife a lot more than you are with the old Busta joint. Like, it's just what you're going to do. Arena is the hot new wife, and MTGO is kind of like the wife that you're glad to have there. They keep things running, but you're like, eh.
I'm gonna go to the shed. I'm gonna get you a shovel. I'm gonna come back so you can keep digging that hole because you're in a very dangerous territory, my sir.
No. I'm not saying I want multiple wives. Dear God, I can't please one woman. Why in the hell would I want to please two? But. Yeah, no, I just, it's MTGO is kind of like that. It's the stepchild. It's the thing that's always going to be there, but and that they will design new sets for, but I don't think they're ever going to throw money at it, per se.
Hmm.
So, it's an interesting idea.
I mean, once the Pioneer rotation comes into Magic Arena, I mean, Magic Online is going to be there for Modern, Legacy, Vintage, and Cube.
And once we get Pioneer, we're 2 years from Modern. Because your Pioneer's like halfway between Modern and Standard.
Mm, it's a little farther back than that. Modern goes
maybe,
all the way back
but
to
I think
mirrored.
by then they might have figured out real quick ways. Trust me, somebody is going through trying to find a way to take cards that are coded in MTGO and find some way to database import export.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. I just Modern goes all the way back to mirrored in 8th edition. That's
right.
2000. That's 20 years ago. That's a lot farther back than Pioneer goes.
Yeah, but they're not going to want to be throwing money at Arena eventually, and they have to have those cards. Like,
no,
they
that's,
have
but
to
that's
be
what
able
I mean.
To play
Modern, I think I would love to see, you know, the full library on Arena. I don't see them doing it yet.
I'm loving the idea of just making Masters. I'm loving the idea of, you know, just saying, okay, I'm going to get Masters here or remastered. Here you go. You know. Here's Hazoret, here's, you know, Scarab God, here's Locust God, here's all the stuff you love to play with, and we're not giving you any of the god dang exertion cards, because what an annoying mechanic.
Well, I mean, that would not be good, because then that cuts out Glorybringer.
I know,
and
but it'll be there, but it's not going to be the same, you know.
The problem with the remasters is they're always going to miss cards that end up seeing play later. I mean... Who thought that Inverter of Truth was ever going to be a good card? And now it's one of the best decks in, you know, in its format in Pioneer. So what they can do is they do the remasters, and then if in paper or MTGO, if the meta shifts to something that they didn't reprint, they only have to code like maybe one or two cards and say,
exactly,
here's a special release, here you go.
Oh no, they'll call it a historic or Pioneer anthology, and they'll put it in.
And they'll charge you 10,000 gems for it.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah,
but And I'm good with that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, we'll talk about Arena in Main 2 a little bit. I do want to talk about that, like ways to make Arena fun, which is a topic I'm now about to type in. You know, like ways to make Arena fun right now if you don't like playing Standard, but you should still play Standard for the Winnebox event. with that, I mean, it's tough right now. And I would like to see, I think we're about 2 years from Pioneer and Arena, and then who knows what the hell happens to Historic. I think they take a lot of Historic and try to roll it into some sort of vintage cube or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they have to keep Historic as a format that they support, only because they put so much effort, quote unquote, into putting all those other cards that aren't Pioneer legal into this.
Maybe, unless they were going to build, because here's the thing: the minute you put Pioneer in this set, the minute you put Pioneer into Arena, like, no one's going to play Historic. Nobody's going to want to play Historic because I have a Pioneer deck. I'm going to build the Pioneer deck, and now Arena becomes a great place for me to practice my Pioneer deck.
That's not necessarily true. I mean, because there's all those formats in MTGO, and all those formats you play.
True, but I don't think Historic's going to be that valid after Pioneer. I think it loses a lot when Pioneer shows up.
Because Pioneer is
a paper set. Pioneer is something you can play on Arena, right, but then go play your buddy across the street.
We've kind of pivoted into a combat here.
Yeah.
But I think the if they keep going with Arena-focused PTs, Arena-focused tournaments, Invitationals, Historic will continue to have a presence. Historic will still be relevant because they'll make it that way. They'll say this tournament is going to be Historic, so you have to keep playing Historic.
Well, yeah, that's different. I don't think once this pandemic's over, I got to figure they're going to go back to what it used to be, which was like, I think it was like 2-1, like of paper versus Arena.
I don't know, because that's still a long ways off. We're still probably at least a year or two away from that being gone.
I don't think so. I think we're 6 months. I think we'll have some sort of... I think they'll be able to reopen in 6 months. I don't think game stores can go. You know, and I understand it's not just game stores, but I mean, I think come the first of the year, they're going to look at it and go, okay, let's try to roll something in February, March, which are their big times, because winter, nothing the hell's happening. So, hey, let's try to put together a few events in February and see if we can do it. Now, if the second wave hits that everybody talks about, or hell, we keep riding this first wave that 38 other states other than New York are doing right now, then obviously that changes. Everything's kind of up in the air. And you might be right. Historic is like Diet Pioneer, and it's what you play because you can't play Pioneer.
Historic is a pretty vibrant format from what I've heard.
It is a vibrant format, and I'm enjoying it. But if I had the chance to play Pioneer and work on decks that I could play in paper in Pioneer, like, that's just it. Nobody's playing Historic paper. So, you know, Arena still feeds paper to some extent. Now, I know that Wizards wants to move away from that. Wizards wants to make it so that paper kind of feeds Arena, because Arena is where they really make a lot of money, because, you know, we pay money for nothing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just don't see Historic being viable once Pioneer's in play. And once they have Pioneer in Arena, once you have a viable Pioneer, say in a year and a half they're still doing mainly online events, they won't do Historic, they'll do Pioneer. Because Pioneer is a quote-unquote real format.
I don't think so.
You could be wrong. I could be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. But, I mean, it just seems to me that a lot of people would rather play Pioneer. You don't hear many people going, yes, I can't wait to play Historic. The only reason they say that is because they don't have MTGO cards and they're not playing MTGO. Like, what a lot of people have done is, you know, okay, Standard sucks. I'm going to go play MTGO where my other cards are, and I'm going to go play Modern or Commander or, you know. At least they were smart enough to open Brawl. Like, you know, they've gotten a little wiser, but I just don't think that going forward we're going to see a ton of, you know, I think we'll see Historic right up until they get Pioneer. And then it's going to be, you know, I don't know.
I disagree. I think they put too much advertising, too much hype into Historic to just let it go after Pioneer comes into Magic Arena. which is still, like you said, probably a couple of years away.
Well, but really, what have they done? They put a lot of pump into it, but yeah, I mean, how many of the cards that they're putting out in Historic Anthology are not Pioneer legal?
A lot of them.
Okay, I understand a lot of them are, but I also understand things like that were Pioneer legal, that weren't Pioneer legal, that, you know, they're putting them in core sets too, like the Tutor, and things that, you know, like they're throwing cards at. I think sometimes we can use Historic too in the Historic Anthology to kind of get ideas about where they're going to also go with standard sets, because I think that they're gonna fix it on the back end is what I think.
Well, the core sets are the best place to put cards like Grim Tutor, right, and Ugin, because they don't need to. Core sets don't necessarily need to follow the main storyline per se.
Right.
So it's a little more open to the idea of reprints. And a lot of the cards that they reprinted in core set were cards that needed reprints. Grim Tutor had only ever seen one printing.
Right.
There's no reason that card was that needed to be $200. There's zero reason that card needed to be $200, because there's cards that do better things than Grim Tutor. So putting it into a core set gives people more access to it and brings down the price a lot. Like, Grim Tutor's down to like $20, which is great.
I think Pioneer is going to be the main one, and they're going to always have it. It's going to be there, but it's not going to be as big, because the minute okay, you get to what's the earliest set in Pioneer? Isn't it like Zendikar 1?
Return to Ravnica.
The minute, okay, we get Return to Ravnica remastered, there isn't anybody that's going to want to play Historic. They're going to be like, holy crap, I could actually build these Pioneer decks that I've been playing in paper or practice so that I can go to an actual paper event and hang. That's part of it. Like, a lot of people, I mean, think about it. How often, for a while there, when you were getting ready for the events you went to last year, you were playing on Arena. Like, a lot of people use Arena to play test.
Yeah, well, I told him because I didn't have the cards in Magic Online.
Right. But a lot of people are using Arena to play test if they're playing Standard.
If I had had the collection, I would have totally actually used Magic Online over Arena, because the quality of competition on Magic Online is higher.
Of course it is. But I think, too, once you get Pioneer, you'll get some people to hop from online to
yeah,
Arena.
I don't think Historic's going to go away like you say. I think there's always going to be a very healthy Historic community, because it's something different. If Pioneer sucks and Standard sucks, Historic might still be good.
I don't think Pioneer can suck, can it?
Inverter of Truth?
Yeah, but I mean, they're easy. It's easier for them to you know, fix Pioneer.
Not anymore. Now it's in line with every other ban.
Yeah.
It's easier for them to fix Historic than it is Pioneer, because they can just flip a switch. Whereas with Pioneer, they have to make an announcement a week in advance and say, oh, these are going to get banned, da-da-da-da-da. Whereas with Historic, they say, listen, we're going to do this. You're going to get some wild cards. Boom.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I think that's something we're going to come across, you and me, on another day. But let's kind of talk a little bit. Let's pivot a little bit. Mark Rosewater. Oh, wait. Hold on. It's way too far out. My guess, Historic will have enough differences with supplementary sets like the anthologies. Possibly,
yeah,
Steve.
They're going to keep putting supplemental things into Historic to make it different enough from Historic, from Pioneer and Standard.
But the stuff that they're putting in that doesn't go into Pioneer would go into a Vintage Cube or a Modern Cube very easily. They could call it a Modern Cube.
But a cube is limited, not constructed. That's a completely different thing.
I know, but it's still the same. Nah. So, Mauro put out a big thing this morning. He put out a rather long... it was Mark Rosewater writing. he answered questions none of us were asking, if that makes any sense. He starts off and he says, I have many responsibilities as a head designer, but one of my most important ones is looking to the future. Magic is going to keep evolving, so I have to stay on top of where the game can evolve. I thought it might be fun today to talk about what areas show the most promise for the future. Note, I'm not going to give away anything we might be doing, but rather I want to talk in bigger terms about the most robust areas of future design. The following categories aren't in any order of importance or size, it's just the order that came to me as I was writing this. So he talks about a few things. He talks about expansion of existing mechanics. He's talking about going in and trying to find mechanics that worked before, like Proliferate, things of that nature, cycling, he talks about. So things that they've had in the past, and they try to find ways to improve it. They did improve cycling to the point where it's an annoying piece of crap right now. But, you know, it's an improvement. So he talks about that, and then he talks about rehabilitation of failed mechanics. He talks about, he used the example of the chroma mechanic, I think it was called. So, and then how it became devotion. Okay, I'm on board. So I think he's talking there about taking mechanics that failed in the past energy and trying to find a way to bring it back around. Energy. And
I don't think energy was a failed mechanic.
Oh, I think energy was a very failed mechanic. Energy was annoying as frack.
No, I think it's the exact opposite. It was too successful. It's very parasitic, and it's one of those mechanics that needs more of things that care about it in order to work. It's like the cycling deck.
Yeah,
but to a much higher level, to the point where it's like, all right, the energy cards need to beget more energy cards, need to beget more energy cards for this massive payoff.
Yeah, they never printed answers to energy, really. No, they just banned around it. Oh,
and
he's also, a two ether gone. Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
And he's also talking about mechanics that didn't make it into previous sets, like they're sitting basically like on the cutting room floor,
right,
and revisiting them to say, okay, well, this didn't work. What if we tweaked it this way? Will this work? And then sometimes it works out, like devotion.
Right. And then he talks about new frames to cards, and then double face cards, and then yours and my favorite, punch out cards, which I don't know. All right, guys in the room. All right, let me ask you this question: do you punch out your cards? Like, I have had to with the tokens, because you need the tokens. But, like, Amonkhet and Hours of Devastation, I never punched out those cards.
Yes, you did.
All right, we did once. You're right. We did do
yes,
it once.
Yes, you did. You totally did. I remember when we were playing, you would dig into your bag and find the little exerted things and put them on your
Yeah,
because
I punched one out, I think. But we felt weird doing it. You always feel weird.
Well, I mean, it's. I understand why they did it. I think it's a good idea, because it's a reminder. And if you don't have, you know, especially if there's a set where there's a bunch of different kinds of counters flying around, I mean, could you imagine if they didn't do these punch outs for Ikoria?
Oh yeah.
Okay, this green counter means flying. This blue counter means first strike. Oh wait, or was that death touch? I forget.
Right. Some of the other stuff he's talking about, I'm not. Well, the biggest one, the one I almost really want to speculate on, he brings up something that has been a bother for anyone who's had to deal with these damn things ever. Anyone who's had to deal with Teferi going to his ultimate. Anyone who has had to deal with Nissa going to her ultimate. And that is the freaking emblems. And he talks about card components outside of the deck. You know, emblems for planeswalkers, a better example of this, pushed a little bit more in the Monarch mechanic from Conspiracy. That one, if I was thinking he was giving us any hints, he's like, we're going to find a way to interact with emblems, finally. And, dear God, please do.
I mean, I would be interested to see it, but I don't think that this article was necessarily dropping breadcrumbs to anything.
It's Rosewater. He's always dropping breadcrumbs. I know
I
he said
so.
He wasn't.
He's but usually a little more tongue-in-cheek when he's doing that. He's usually not quite so, like, I don't know. I don't want to say obtuse, but I really don't think that he's dropping breadcrumbs. I think he's really just sort of saying, hey, let's pull back the curtain a little bit. Here's all these ideas that we have. We haven't used them all. We might use some in the future. We might not. But this is sort of a process that we go through, and this is what we're thinking of when we're
going
to.
And dear God, don't try to find a way to work additional decks into the damn game. Holy crap, that scared the hell out of me. I'm like, it's fun in an unset. It's fun and unstable, but for God's sake, man, do not be bringing other decks in.
Well, I mean, he even mentioned that if they did this, and he doesn't think they will, is that it would be very, very small.
Yeah.
Probably, like, I would imagine if they did it, I would say maybe no more than 10 cards.
Well, let me ask you this question. How many companions were there?
10.
And what happened with companions?
That's not the same
ten
thing.
10 cards can bust a format.
10 cards can bust a format if they're designed improperly, and the companions were designed improperly. They'll learn from their mistake.
And he talked about those two and stuff, and top-down design and Future Shock and all that. Very good article. I highly recommend you go find it. It makes you think, though, about what might be coming, what's happening, you know. It's definitely an interesting time. It was a good article. I do recommend reading it. I don't know. I get the feeling Mark seems to be going off the rails a little bit, and he seems to be, like, dropping crumbs everywhere he goes. You know,
yeah,
and,
I don't
and
think
trying...
So, especially...
Well, also, I think he's trying to prepare us. Like, I have a feeling... Don't forget, all the sets have been designed a year out. Like, the sets they're designing now are, what, a year and a half away. So, any of the stuff that happened with Oko and the companions and all that, where obviously Power Creep has become Power Jump, you know, if he's going to correct it, it would have to be done now, which means we may have a good year of further creepage. And it's very possible. That's one of the things I thought reading this article was like, holy shit, is he trying to tell us, like, shit's going to get real?
It's possible. But then again, things might stay where they are. Because, I mean, you know, it's... They were testing these sets with all those broken cards legal.
Right.
So I think that, you know, you take that grain of salt with it. So when they're testing whatever set's coming out after Zendikar, Oko was legal, Once Upon a
right.
Time was legal, all this nonsense was legal.
I feel like we should play an unbanned.
Totally. Totally. I'll do a Sultai Ramp Field of the Dead deck.
Oh, and just be like, this is what they intended. Holy
Magic
crap.
As they intended. Turn two, you're dead.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, definitely check it out. It's magicwizards.com. Go there and look under the articles. It's the first one. It's called The Future of Magic by Mark Rosewater. If you want, you can imagine his geeky laugh while he's talking to you like that. That's Mark Rosewater. So I highly recommend doing that. But let's go ahead and get into combat.
Combat phase.
And remember, we don't have one, so...
Because we kind of already did.
We did kind of do that. So, main two. So, we're going to talk a little bit about Arena. There was a standard showdown this weekend. I didn't plan it.
I missed it. I wanted to play it. I missed it.
I didn't get a chance. It was so busy this weekend. You know, first of all, though, I encourage you to log into Arena every weekend. They always seem to have three different things going on in the store. There's almost always a pack for 50 gold. Or, you know, or 500 gold, but like a really cheap pack. And then they have 500 coins for 50 or 550 or something like that. So,
right,
definitely worthwhile doing. Good. Yeah, it's like 500 coins for, you know, 50 gold or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's basically you're getting whatever amount of gold for free, but you're just paying whatever gold to get to it.
Right. So I highly recommend you log in at least once every weekend. And I want to talk a little bit about ways to make Arena fun, because right now Arena kind of, let's face it, Arena's sucking. You know, Standard is figured out. It's played out. I mean, people are having fun. I like the fact that we're seeing some different decks in mono green aggro and red, and maybe that's going to change a little bit of how some of these decks are being played, but it seems like a lot of it right now is Bant Ramp, you know, Jund Sacrifice, and Team Iraq, like, and Nair the Three Shell Meat. So, you know, ways to make Arena fun. You know, I wanted to kind of go through that a little bit. First of all, I mean, Historic is there. I'm having fun with Historic. I play Historic quite a bit. You know, and I play freaking Bombast. I'm not going out looking for deck lists on that. I'm just like, what's working here? Or I might be playing and be like, wow, that deck looked cool. Maybe I'll try to recreate some of that and add my own spice to it. You know, Historic's fun for that. I mean, have you done any of that, Aramis, or?
I have not played Historic.
Right.
Basically, what I've been doing is new set just came out, so I've been drafting.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. It's like if the constructed formats suck, there's always limited. And now that they have in-person drafting, it's a lot. Oh my god, it's a million times better than what it was with the bots.
Right.
So I really enjoy going into the drafts and doing that. I mean, there's always Brawl. I haven't had a chance to play much Brawl, but I think that's something I might try to do if I get tired of standard and limited, and if I haven't played Historic yet. I need to look and see what the Historic metagame looks like right now. I haven't really had a chance to do that, but there's enough on Arena right now to, at the very least, do your dailies, and if you want to log off after that, I mean, that's the good thing about Arena, is I say, here, do this, at least to this point, and then, hey, whatever you want to do after that, totally up to you.
So, yeah, I definitely recommend that. I mean, you're a big guy on the you're the big guy on the sealed and the
unlimited?
What's the word? the limited formats. I suck at drafting. No matter how much I draft, I don't get better. I go like 1-1 and 2 or 2-2 or I don't think I've ever gotten above 5, no matter how well I thought I drafted. No matter what I lost to where I'm like, wow, I should be looking for that in my next draft. You know, it's just not
I should sit with you. I should sit with you in a draft and walk and do a draft
just,
with you.
I'm just awful at it. You know, sealed. I'm okay. I do okay. But definitely, I'm just a lousy drafter. So, and he's saying use bread, you will get better. And then St. John asked, "What do carbs have to do with magic, Steve?" So, But, I mean, there is that. Like I said, historics there. Brawl is another option for you. Or, you know, you could start playing in the unranked. I mean, I was going to suggest that, too. If you want to play some salty stuff, you know, and don't get me wrong, there are still jerks that are rolling around in unranked with Bant Ramp because, I don't know, Monday.
Trolls.
Yeah.
Trolls. They'll troll people with the meta decks. But yeah, unranked magic is where you go if you really want to see the spicy stuff. And I would say occasionally something comes out of there that ends up being really good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bread's an acronym for bombs, removal, evasion, aggro, and duds. That's something you use as a guideline when you're drafting or using a sealed deck. You look at your cards and you basically separate them into those categories. And that's how you build.
Okay. I have no idea what you said.
When
I know what you said. I'm just being a smartass. But, yeah, I mean, definitely drafting is fun, stuff like that. I mean, Arena's definitely worthwhile. I mean, it's still, you know, worth it to play. I mean, I have the Master Pass. I'm going to play it, obviously. I was up, like Zach wrote last week, I was down for a couple of weeks on it. And then it just kind of turned around this past week, and I got back into playing it. And again, I'm having fun with Bant Ramp because people quit. For some reason, I enjoy it when people quit. I'm like, because I'm just imagining I'm going, motherfucker, god damn it.
you feed on the salt of others.
A little bit. So there's that. So ways to make Arena fun. I mean, I wish that they would just let us chat so I could be like, you know, really, dude? You're gonna rope me? Wow, you're a nice guy. You know.
Oh, in during the game.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly the reason that they don't let you chat because people tend to be toxic.
Yeah, I would be toxic if you were freaking. I'm sorry. If you're sitting there and you're roping me, I get to be toxic. I get to call you any name in the book. You know, short of like, you know, racial or, you know, inappropriate, but I mean, you know,
it would get starred out anyway.
Yeah, I know. So I want to talk about that, and it's going to kind of pivot into the win a box. Here's what's going on. Okay, I got an email yesterday, I think, from a listener who wanted in on the in a box, or the in a box, the win a box, and they said, hold on, let me see what he said here. He's like, trying this again. Looks like there may have been a typo in the episode description for the show email address last episode, missing an S. So apparently I mistyped it. So we're going to put it out another week. So here's how this is going to play. Again, you need to be in the continental 48 states. You can't be in Hawaii or Alaska. You can't be outside the U.S. If you are and you want to play anyway and donate your box to, like, one of my students and whatever, that's great. Do whatever you, or to one of the other winners, that's great. We just can't send the box to you. But you need to email us at podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. Right now, as it stands, I have 7 people. So we need at least one more. I would rather have 9 more. Seriously, and it's open to anyone now. My patrons had a week, and, you know, those who wanted to got in touch with us. Those who didn't, they're still tied. So email us right away to get in on it. We definitely want you. Oh, Mike just emailed. So,
yeah,
Black Mage is back. And yes, so, and Steve sent us another deck list cause he, you know, he was a little annoyed. So, I highly recommend you play it. It's a lot of fun. We use Discord. We use, Arena, obviously. It's going to be standard. The ban lists apply. Gosh, I wish there was a, you know what they are doing? You know, their own events. We could say no ban list.
That would be so degenerate. Oh my god! I can't imagine that. That would be 8 copies of the same deck. What are you talking about? It'll be different flavors of Simic
and Oko.
Yeah. Oh god. No. Absolutely not. It'd be 5 color. Golos Field of the Dead.
Yeah, it would be 5 color Golos Field of the Dead, Oko Teferi.
No, thank you.
I don't know. Maybe next time, maybe for Zendikar, we'll be like, no ban list, Fires of Invention, go to town.
Jeez.
Oh, God, that'd be great. That would just be a fun event, man. Just the,
no,
the
it wouldn't.
Crazy...
It'd be fun for the first 10 minutes, but then you'd be like, oh, great, that Oko invalidated this card. Oko invalidated that card. Oko elked this. Elk.
I think that would be great. Oh.
Look, I don't mind playing you, but I don't want to watch a tournament that doesn't.
We'll make it historic so they can do Nexus.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. That's just terrible.
I mean, yeah, everybody would be playing Simic. Absolutely.
Everyone!
Yeah, it just... Ooh, yeah, there's a part of me that wants to do that just to see. You know what? Like Alfred says in The Dark Knight, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, I think you do.
My opinion will become a 3-3 elk.
Yeah. Everything has been elked. Oh my god! It is crazy though. If you think about it, when they're testing these cards up until, you know, 6 months from now, all that nonsense was legal in their future leagues. Yeah. All of it was. How can all? And you look back and you're like, how did they think any of this was okay at the same time?
You know what? Oko broke its own cards in Throne of Eldraine. Like, it's one thing if it broke cards, like, in, like, you know, Guilds of Ravnica. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. I get it. You broke cards in Eldraine.
Yeah. Because you can think about it. The cards that were banned. I mean, Veil of Summer would have still been legal, so you couldn't have even had answers to it. Because they would have been like, nope, Veil. Sorry. It's all hexproof now.
I love Veil of Summer.
I loved Veil of Summer, too, but wow. It was Cryptic Command for 1 mana.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, God.
That's
terrifying. All I mean, right. I love it, but it's terrifying.
So the Winna box is in play, guys. Okay, I've gotten deck lists from a few of you. Thank you. Walter sent his in already. Steve sent his in. People are sending them in. As it stands right now, I'll just go through the list I have because I think we just got our 8th. So let me pull that up here. You know, talk amongst yourselves. We're not running a show or anything.
I'm going to pull up the ban list while you're doing this and see exactly what kind of idiocy would be legal in this.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I mean, we couldn't fix things like the companion mechanic. They would obviously make us, you know.
All right, so you want to be in a world where Agent of Treachery, Field of the Dead, Fires of Invention, Oko, Once Upon a Time, and Veil of Summer are all legal.
Yes, I do.
Yikes. That is scary as hell.
So as things stand right now, here are our players. As it stands right now, we have 7. Oh, we have 7 now. Okay. We have Steve, Walt, Antony, Ben, Trayton, Brian, and Mike. Those are my 7. All right. We need one more to make sure the thing fires. We need 9 more. Guys, 9. Seriously, you're going to win a box, and I'm not charging you a damn thing. Like, you just got to play Arena. Like, come on. It's going to be a whole hootin' lot of fun. The last time was great. So email us, podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. All right? And believe me when I tell you, you're not going to regret it. You know, I don't know where our last winner was. I don't know where Mark's been. But, yeah, I highly recommend it. We'd love to have you guys in and hang out. If you're one of my patrons, there's almost no reason not to.
It's a really good shot at a free box of cards, which may or may not contain a Nugent.
Yeah, so there you go.
Or Grim Tutor.
And here's the thing. They usually, I don't know if they did this last time because of the COVID, but usually, too, what you get from Kerwin's is not just the box. They actually, they set you up. So
yeah, he got set up pretty good with some swag last time.
So we definitely would love to encourage you guys to do that. Please, okay, email us today. If you're listening to this in the car, you know, hey Siri, set a reminder to email the podcast.
Now she heard that.
Podcasts has an added support for that with Siri.
But do you understand what I mean? You can have Siri do all sorts of stuff. Or, you know, ask your Alexa.
All right, she heard you too.
Yes. So definitely that's something to do. Make sure you look into that, guys. Email us right away. But unless you've got something else going on, Aramis, I don't think we have any emails. Walt emailed us and gave us a few updates, things like that. But we haven't gotten any real emails from anyone out in the field. So I think we're ready to go right to...
End step.
Okay, so as Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats, putting our cards back in their boxes and taking the pizza boxes over by the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work here. We want to remind you guys that both Aramis and I, and Aramis is actually streaming a little more these days. I'm kind of happy. We're streaming on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planestalkers podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
And you can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX, although when I'm streaming now, I mean, it's probably going to be on the Planestalkers podcast channel, but I may still occasionally stream on my own personal channel, so
check me out there.
Didn't you
do a box opening this week?
I did a box opening this past week. You missed some good stuff. I opened up a quick mea culpa. The Ugin that I opened was not the one that I thought it was. It was not the $150 one, but it was the $68 one, so I'm still pretty
good. You're still ahead.
Still way ahead. So, yeah, RMECWRX on Twitch, but it all gets fed out through the Planestalkers podcast channel, so check either one of those out. If Twitter is more your speed, you can follow our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
Yes, and my personal Twitter is at WRBenson. I mean, to be honest, guys, I don't tweet all that often. I'm really on there to find, you know, just to follow the comings and goings of everyone's favorite rapper, Vanilla Ice. You know, Rob and I mean, we're good buddies here, and I love just following him on Twitter. He's like my favorite artist ever, next to Gerardo. So, you know, that's really why I'm on there. But you can follow me on Twitter at WRBenson. You could also follow us on Facebook. That's a really good way to get information about the show. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. We took off the last S, and we held on to it for savings. And also because some dick took the name. So like and follow our page there.
And finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, which we haven't been able to do in a while. Nobody's asking questions. It makes me mad.
Because these guys are all players, man. They beat you regularly at Commander Craft.
For the players.
Who won last week? Who won?
Look, there's a first time and an only time for everything.
Who won last week?
I'm sure revenge will be doled out in due form.
Oh, give me a break. Steve's going to roll in with some freaking degenerate piece of crap deck.
Yeah, we're all dead because of you, so thank you. Anyway, yeah, if you're a newer player, the Ask Aramis section, I can help you with deck construction, limited choices, you know, most aspects of the game. I'm happy to help you out. If you have any other question about the show, a comment about the show, maybe even an idea for the show.
Or to join the Winnabox event.
Or to join the Winnabox event. There are still slots available. We'd love to get to 16. 8 is fine, but 16 is so much better. Our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And I want to remind you guys, I do host another podcast on the television show, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, called Legends TV Talk. We still haven't re-recorded our finale. I think that's going to happen this Sunday. Okay. I'm also going to be part of an initiative going on from a host on that show. Belle's actually one of our patrons. It's called Flashcraft. And it's basically, we're going to be building DC Universe stuff like a Wayne Manor, a Hall of Justice, a Legion of Doom, and a Swamp Biome in Minecraft. So I'm going to be streaming that. Occasionally it'll stream here as well, because when I stream on Minecraft, it does come here. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So look it up. It's called Flashcraft. Just to do that, you can find us online at Legends TV Talk on Facebook. And, you know, with that, you know, we do want to encourage you also to leave us some iTunes reviews. They do help the show. I don't know if we have any right now. We'll check next week. But with that, I want to go ahead and say thank you again for hanging out and listening with us tonight and hanging out and listening to the show. We're really glad you were here. We're going to be back next Monday doing another show. We will be online Wednesday night for Commander Craft. If you play EDH and you have a paper deck, you're welcome to join us. Just get a hold of us either on our Discord or email the show. We'll get you the information. We'd love to have you play with us. We have a good at least 4 guys, if not usually 5 or 6. Commander Craft, it happens on Wednesdays at around 7:30 Eastern. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for being listeners. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. And we want to remind you to leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great night. Bye-bye.